where we've been trying to bring some of the learning from the Kollel-based Medrash out to some of the Shiurim at night. And please also join us next week. Next week, we're going to shift to talk about Hilchos Pesach. So we're going to talk about Mechiras Chametz and Bedikas Chametz. And for Herschel Schachter, we'll be giving the Chaburim Yirtzeh Hashem this coming Thursday night. So that's very exciting. Hope you can join us then. Okay, so the topic tonight is Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. The source sheet was attached in the email. I also can just put it in the screen, in the chat, if anybody wants it. So it'll be sitting there. There we go. Okay. And then the topic tonight, this is really going to build off of, you know, definitely what I talked about in the introduction on Monday, and I think some of the points that Reb Brand made on Tuesday and Wednesday. One of the nice things of the Karban Pesach is that you have a bunch of independent topics which all come back to the same central point. It's like different spokes of a single wheel, where the core idea that we developed on Monday, the idea that the Karban Pesach is not just a regular karban, but it is the karban which defines the establishment and then the constant annual renewal of the bris between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. So that expresses itself in all sorts of different areas. And one in particular that's worth delving into is the topic tonight, the relationship between Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. On Monday, we tease this a little bit because we saw that one of the main expressions of Karban Pesach's covenant element was the fact that someone who fails to bring a Karban Pesach, the Torah tells us in Parashas Baaloscha, receives the consequence of kares, which is pretty shocking because there's almost never a punishment for mitzvah saseh. Usually if you fail to fulfill a positive commandment, you just fail to fulfill it. There's no punishment. And the explanation we had on Monday was that it's not a punishment, it really is a consequence. Someone who has failed to enter the covenant, so this by definition, he has left himself in a reality of karis. And that the proof that that is what's going on over here is that you have that with us by Karban Pesach. And the only other time we find a karis for mitzvah saseh is the mitzvah of bris milah. You know, there are is a bit of a side topic, but Yom Kippur is another possible candidate for this. There's, I think, one view in the Gaonim that only counts a mitzvah saseh of Yom Kippur. I think I remember Rosenzweig mentioning this once. If you think about it, the Torah really emphasizes the positive element of Yom Kippur. The inisem es nafsho seichem, right? We're commanded in the positive to afflict, actively afflict ourselves. So it's possible to think of the Karban Pesach in that regard. It's possible to think of Yom Kippur in that regard. From Yaakov Maidan from Haaretz Yon, he has a book on Megillas Rus. And in the first chapter of Megillas Rus, when he is talking about what happens to Elimelech and Machlon and Kilyon when they all die young, so he proposes that's exactly what's happening to them over there. He proposes that leaving Eretz Yisrael and abandoning Bnei Yisrael, they have just left themselves in a reality of kares. And he suggests that exactly as the person who fails to have the bris milah, the person who fails to bring the Karban Pesach, has the consequence of kares, he suggests that's exactly what's happening to the family of Elimelech when they leave Eretz Yisrael. But that piece makes us wonder, is there more of a relationship between bris milah and Karban Pesach? Should we think of these as just two separate tracks? They're both bris related, but they don't really have anything to do with each other per se, or is there a stronger relationship over here? And we're going to focus on this, you know, this could be like a Tanakh shir, Hashkafa shir, but we're going to focus tonight on the halacha and on the lamdas. And we're specifically going to focus on the Mishnah in the third Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Pesachim, which tells us about some of the unique disqualifications of the Karban Pesach. On Monday, we said that one of the, you know, we really highlighted the role of Shechita in the Karban Pesach. And then we said that as opposed to other karbanos, which only have the disqualifications if you have the improper intent, if you had in mind the wrong karban or the wrong owner, Karban Pesach, we saw, had a whole bunch of other disqualifications. The Mishnah told us, Shchato shalola ochla, v'shalolim nuyav, if you shechted it for people who are not able to eat the meat, or people who are not members of the chabura, le'arelim ulitzneim, you shechted it having in mind people who don't have a bris mila, or people who are tame, the Karban Pesach is pasul. That is what the Mishnah says. And so the very basic chakira for us to open up is, are all four of these basically the same? The Mishnah is giving us four psulim. Shalola ochlav, shalolim nuyav, arelim tmeyim. It has to be for people who can't, if you shach to people who can't eat, then I'm the chabura, then I'm a resmila, or the tame, and the carbon is possible. Are these just one list, and they all primarily have the same dinim? The nature of the psulim is exactly the same? There's good reason to think that. They're together in the Mishnah, they're listed together in the Mishnah. None of these psulim exist for other karbanos. They're all unique to the Karban Pesach. The way the Mishnah here presents it, all of them are only being applied to Shechita. So there is good reason to think that that is the case. And we'll see the main reason why Tosfos brings that they think that way in a little bit. On the other hand, despite the fact that the Mishnah presents all of these disqualifications together, Arelim really stands out from the group as something which seems like a particularly problematic psul, shechting and having in mind people who are Arelim. And we can identify just readily three or four reasons for that just from the psukim themselves before we even get into the Mishnayos or the Gemaras. So if you have the source sheet open, you see in source number two, you have the psukim at the end of Perek Yud Beis in Parshas Bo, where Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, here are some of, the laws of the Karban Pesach. When we saw these psukim on Monday, we mentioned the fact that the Torah here keeps on referring to the prohibitions of eating, who's allowed to eat, who's not allowed to eat, and how are they allowed to eat. But if you look at the psukim now from a different perspective, we can notice there's another pattern here, which is the Torah keeps on coming back and reiterating that someone cannot participate in the Karban Pesach unless they have a bris mila. That would be interesting enough if we were told that once. But we're told it three different times. First in Pasuk Mem Dalet, we're told if anybody has an Eved Kenani, so the Eved has to get a bris mila before he can participate in the Karban Pesach. Then again in Pasuk Mem Ches, we're told that if you have a ger, so he has to circumcise his entire household. All the boys in the family have to be circumcised. He molo kol zachar v'azikrav la'aso so. That's, by the way, not only does the person bringing the Karban Pesach have to have a bris mila, but it sounds like he can't have anybody in his household who is uncircumcised. It's like the presence of someone who is an arel is going to disqualify the Karban Pesach. And then the Torah tells us a third time, mikol arel lo yochal. Anybody who is uncircumcised cannot eat from the Karban Pesach. So the fact that in just, six psukim over here, we have three different emphases on the fact that an Arel cannot participate in the Karban Pesach, that is something which is Omer Darshim. That is something which indicates to us that there is a particular relationship between these two, institutions. And it would make us wonder if the psul of having a relim in mind when you shach the Karban Pesach, is that in reality just like the other ones, or is it different? We should just mention a couple of other ones, just because they're cool to know. Tar tells us in Pasuk Yud Gimel over there on Pasuk and Perek Yud Beis, "Vaya adam lachem laos alabatim asher tam sham." So the blood will be a sign. You know, the Pasuk, the blood is going to be a sign on the houses. What is the blood? The blood is, of course, the blood of the Karban Pesach that the Jews are wiping on the doorposts and on the lintel of their houses. Unkelus says exactly that. Unkelus just says the blood. However, Targum Yonasan actually says, what blood is being discussed here? So Rabbi Yonasan says, Yidam nischas pischa, ugzeiras mehulta me'arev lachom. The blood of the Karban Pesach and the blood of Bris Milah is going to be mixed together, and those two bloods are going to be mixed together and put on the doorpost. So Rabbi Yonasan is saying that Bnei Yisrael are getting a Bris Milah right before they have the Karban Pesach. They are taking their blood from the Milah, they're taking the blood of the Karban Pesach, and they're putting those two together on the doorposts. The Mechilta Derashbi, the collection of Midrash Halacha, has this idea as well. And the Midrash Halacha says, darshening on the pasuk from Yechezkel, from your blood you'll live. Right, twice we're told, from your blood you will live. So Mechilta says, so far Bnei Yisrael, you only have two mitzvahs. You know what I mean? How many mitzvahs do Bnei Yisrael have so far? Avraham was given Bris Milah, and now they have the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So they're taking those two mitzvahs. They are now reaffirming their connection to Hashem. All the years of assimilation into Egypt and idolatry, those are out the window. Bnei Yisrael are getting circumcised, and they're bringing in Karban Pesach, and Targum Yonasan is even have the bloods together. Why are Bnei Yisrael only getting circumcised now? Well, there's another Medrash which picks up on this. In Shmos Rabbah, the Medrash says that as soon as Yosef died, so Bnei Yisrael want to assimilate. And what's the first step to assimilation into Egyptian society? The Medrash Rabbah says, hey, favor Bris Milah. Amru niyakim Mitzrayim. The first step when Bnei Yisrael wants to identify with the Egyptians is they throw Bris Milah out the window. Now, as they're reasserting their own identity, their separate independent identity, we're not Egyptians like they wanted to be originally. We're not slaves to the Egyptians like the Egyptians forced them into being. We rather are Bnei Yisrael. That involves Bris Milah, and that involves Karban Pesach, slaughtering their sheep, slaughtering their gods, and doing Bris Milah, which is totally antithetical to the world of Mitzrayim. And if we look even a little bit farther in Jewish history, 40 years down the road, when Bnei Yisrael are coming into Eretz Canaan, so the Navi tells us there in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua that as soon as they enter Eretz Yisrael, they immediately have a massive circumcision. They were not able to have a Bris Milah while they were in the desert. So they have a Bris Milah, and immediately they bring the Karban Pesach. The Navi refers to this removing of the Bris Milah. Hashem tells Yoshua, Hayom galosi escherpas Mitzrayim me'alechem. I have revealed away from you, I have stripped away the disgrace of Egypt. What is the disgrace of Egypt? The Arla is being symbolized by the Pasuk in Yoshua as Cherpas Mitzrayim. It is the Arla, which is the disgrace of Egypt. That's an Egyptian symbol. And we are now stripping it away as Bnei Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael. That forms the name of the city, Gilgal, coming from Galosi, revealing. That is the place where Bnei Yisrael set up as home base for the next 14 years. That is where they have the Mishkan. And immediately afterwards, the Navi tells us, they immediately settle down and bring the Karban Pesach. So we have the Pesukim in Bo are linking again and again and again the Karban Pesach with Bris Milah. The Midrashim describing the assimilation of Bnei Yisrael and then the de-assimilation are focusing on the role of Bris Milah and its connection, according to the Targum Yonasan. Literally, its connection being blended together with the blood of the Karban Pesach. And Yoshua and Sefer Yoshua, we're seeing that's exactly what happens again when Bnei Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael. We think of the symbol of the sheep as the Egyptian god, and the Arla is also the Cherpat Mitzrayim. Now, none of that withstanding, the Balei HaTosfos consistently take a strong approach on this question. And they say, it's very, very nice. You know, I could throw all these psukim out there, but the Balei HaTosfos are unimpressed. The Balei HaTosfos think that the disqualification of shechting a Karban Pesach, having in mind those who are Arelim, is the exact same as the other ones in the Mishnah. Tosfos in source number 7 of page 2 quotes the Ri, Omer Ri, Da Arelim Utzmeyam Kulhu Nafki Mehaikra De Ish Luthiachlo. So what's going on here? The Gemara asks immediately after the Mishnah, what is the source for these four disqualifications? And the Torah tells us, or so the Gemara says, that, well, the Torah said, Ish lefi achlo, each person, according to what he is able to eat, should participate in the Karban Pesach. We derive from there that you have to have in mind those who are able to eat from it. So the fact that the Torah says, Ish lefi achlo, it's only being brought for those who can eat from it. So if you have people in mind who can't eat from it, that's going to disqualify the Karban. So the Ri comes along and he says, well, hold on a second. An Arel is not allowed to eat Karbanos. Someone who's Tameh is not allowed to eat Karbanos. There is a blanket prohibition on an Arel or someone who is Tameh eating Karbanos. For a Tameh, it's because he's Tameh, it's a regular Isser. An Arel, it's Machlokas in the Tanaim, whether an Arel cannot eat Kachim because an Arel is also a form of Tumah, or whether it is because the Arel, there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, which talks about Arele Basar, the Arele Lev, not being able to join the world of the Beis HaMikdash. So be that as it may, Tosa says, hold on a second, I have a Gemara here which gives me the source that those who cannot eat, if you have them in mind, it's going to pass on the carbon. The Gemara does not give a source that having in mind the Arel is a problem. The Gemara does not give me a source that having in mind the Tameh is a problem. Why is that the case? Very simple. It's because all three of these are under the same rubric. The real problem with the Arel is simply that he is not able to eat from the carbon. The person who we call Shaloba Ochlav is physically not able to eat from the carbon because, you know, he didn't go to the dentist when he was supposed to. The Arel and the Tameh are halachically not able to eat from the carbon Pesach. But when it comes to the disqualifying the carbon, those are the same. We don't care if you can't eat from it physically. We don't care if you can't eat from it halachically. If someone cannot eat from the carbon Pesach and you have them in mind, that will pass on the carbon. That is the Torah. That's what the Gemara learns from Ish Lefi Achlo, and it's all the same psul. Now, that makes a lot of sense. It's very clear. It's got a very strong basis in the Gemara there on Samach Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Tosas is first talking. However, Tosas quickly runs into a problem from the discussion of the Gemara on the very top of Samach Aleph Amid Beis. And we see it there in source number 8. So the Gemara brings the machlokas between two amoroi. Gemara says, the Mishnah has already told us if you shecht it for, you know, arelim, then we know it's possible. The Gemara asks, shechtu lemulin. What if you shecht it, saying, I'm shechting this Karban Pesach, specifically for people who have a bris milah. Al menas sheyiskapru bo arelim bizrika. But I am having in mind that when I shecht the Karban Pesach, the atonement of the Karban Pesach, whatever atonement exactly Karban Pesach has, when I sprinkle the blood of the Karban Pesach in 10 minutes, I'm having in mind now when I shecht that the sprinkling is going to be done for Arel. What is the story over there? The Gemara gives him a machlokas 17 Amarim. Rav Chista says it's pasul. Rabba says it's kasha. Rav Chista says it's pasul. Yesh machsheves Arelim bizrika. Rabba Amar Kasher in Machsheves Arelim Bezrika. Now, this line is a problem for the Baal Yatosos because it sounds, the simple reading of the Gemara is that we are only focused on Arelim right over here. It sounds like the Gemara takes for granted that if you shechted it, having in mind people who can't eat for the Zrika, it's going to be okay. And you'll only have a problem potentially if you're having in mind people who are Arelim. Yesh machsheves arelim bezrika or ein machsheves arelim bezrika. The Gemara a few lines later quotes, and Tosas quotes this also, it's across Shas, there's a consistent assumption that there is no machsheves ochlin bezrika. If somebody sprinkles the blood of the Karban Pesach and says, I hereby sprinkle that blood, having in mind people who cannot eat from the Karban Pesach, it's going to be totally kosher. We'll see in a little bit the Or Sameach or Be'er Simcha Tzvinsk, his explanation for why that's the case. But it sounds like everyone takes for granted having those who cannot eat in mind when you sprinkle the blood is totally fine. For them, it's only a problem of shechita. And therefore, when the Amoraim are debating whether there's a zrika problem for Arelim, that sounds like it is potentially raising the issue that Arelim is a fundamentally different psul from the other ones. And therefore, you know, Ochlin, Menuyin, Temeim, those would only exist for Shechita. But Arelim, because it is somehow more fundamentally threatening to the Karban, having them in mind would even disqualify the Zrika. That's what the Gemara sounds like it is saying. Tosos have to deal with that because they said that all the psulim are the exact same. They said all the psulim are just because the Arel is not able to eat the carbon, because just like a tame, not on eating the carbon. So Tosos in source number 9 quotes the Ri, who once again comes back to this Gemara. And the Ri says that it turns out that just like Rabba and Rav Chisda are arguing about Shachtu Lemulin Al Menashe Skapru Arelim, it would actually be the same exact debate if it was having in mind those who cannot eat. And that really what the Gemara wants to know is, can we expand from the disqualification when I shecht the carbon for all the people who can't eat to when I shecht having in mind the eventual Zrika? And what would the debate be over here? Well, when I'm doing the Shechita now, right, at 8:22, having in mind what's going to happen for the Zrika at 8:30, is that a problem in the current Shechita, because that's the time I'm doing this? Or is that a problem in the eventual Zrika, because that is the object of my thought? If we say the problem is in the eventual Zrika, then it's not going to be a problem for Arelim, Ochlim, Tmeim, any of these people, because there is no Machsheves Ochlim Bezrika, and that's the case for all of the other disqualifications. That's the view of the Balei Tosfos. However, if I think that when I do one avoda, having in mind what's going to happen with the next one, that creates a psul in the moment, it creates a psul in the present, then it's happening during Shechita. So it's going to be a problem. Whether it's Ochlim, Arelim, doesn't matter. All four cases in the Mishnah, Tosa says that's really how to read the Gemara. That gets, it's difficult to say that, honestly, because the Gemara seems to say pretty black on white. I mean, there's no machshavas ochlim bezrika. We'll see what the student of the Ri, the Rashi Shatz, will say in a couple of minutes. But the Tosos are very, very impressed with the fact that the Torah did not have a separate source to disqualify a Karban Pesach when you have in mind those who have those who are Arelim. They're very impressed by the idea that it is all just under one lump category of people who can't eat from the Karban Pesach. And so they're going to have to twist and turn in the Gemara on Samach Aleph Mabez to hold that up. So it seems like at first glance to be a debate just between Rabba and Rav Chisda about the Arel, Tosfos is going to expand and say it's actually a machlokes about all of the psulim in the Mishnah. We can tell this is a very viable read because the truth is it's not only Tosfos who reads it this way. The Tosfos Rid, Rabbi Yishai Detrani, who has a lot in Maseches Pesachim, which is great because usually when you learn Kadshim, you have a real dearth of Rishonim. But happens to be in the Halah in the Karban Pesach, we have a lot from the Tosfos Rid, who I think I remember when I was in Gush, or Lechenstein Zatzal said was one of the three most creative Rishonim, I think he said. So he has a whole long piece over here, and he totally agrees 100% with the view of Tosfos that there's nothing special about Arelim. It's just like the other psulim in the Mishnah. And in fact, the Tosfos Rid even says, don't get all excited about the fact that the Torah prohibits an Arel from eating the carbon. You're going to come to me and you're going to say, Tosfos Rid, how can you say that the Arel is the exact same as the other psulim? What about all those psukim, which were hammering home three different times that an Arel cannot eat from the carbon pesach? Tosfos Rid says, no big deal. Those are totally separate issues. The issue of who's allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach is totally divorced from disqualifications when you have them in mind. And he says, I'll prove it to you very simply. He said all Karbanos an Arel is not allowed to eat from, but we don't find any psul if you have an Arel in mind. In fact, an Arel, even though he cannot eat from a Karban, he can send his Karbanos. He can appoint somebody as a shliach to bring his Karban Ola, to bring his Karban Chatas. So Tosfos Rid says, you see that all the psukim prohibiting the Arel from eating have nothing to do with the disqualification of having him in Mamad. P'sul Machshava, that's a special halacha for Karban Pesach, but it applies to all four categories, all three categories, people who can't eat. The one who can't eat physically, the one who's an RL, the one who's a Tamek. So that is the consistent view of Tosos and the Tosos Rid. Now, the more exciting thing to do is obviously to try to argue on the other side of the coin, which we'll see in a minute is going to be the view of the Rambam. But before getting to the Rambam, if you see in source number 11, if you're Tosos HaRashba, so Tosos HaRashba, that's not the Rashba, talk about the Rishon, the Rashba. This is actually, I think it's Rav Shimshon ben Elazar, the Rash Mishantz, who is the leading Talmud of the Ri. Another great thing we have in Maseches Pesachim is besides having the regular Tosos on the margin, we have the separate Sefer called Tosos Shantz, where it's very exciting often because you get like the firsthand Chidushim from the Ri's biggest Talmud, the Rash Mishantz himself. So the Rash Mishantz source number 11 says, I not only do I not like what the Ri said, right? And the Ri and Tosos said that all of the Psulim are lumped in together. He says, I got up in the base medrash and I fought with my Rebbe about this point. He says in source number 11 at the beginning, Danti lifni Rebbe. I argued in front of the Ri. Minale de sheha sheim nifsa l'shochi l'mulim lizrok dama l'arelim. Shalom nifso kamochin im b'shazrika chishev l'shem arelim. Right? So the Ri said that you only have a psul if it's during Shechita, but if you did the Zrika alone for Arelim, it's going to be kasher, just like if you did the Zrika alone for people who cannot eat, it is kasher. Arelim and Ochlim are exactly the same. The Rash Mishan says to me that it did not make any sense. He said, Adrabah, min adin yesh lo lipsol yoser. It seems like it should be worse. If Shechita, having in mind the Zrika for an RL, will disqualify the carbon. Then Kal Vachomer, doing the Zrika itself for an RL, should disqualify the carbon. That was the argument that the Rash Mishantz made against the Ri. Right? Got up in the Beis Medrash in Dampierre, and he fought it out. And the Rash Mishantz says, the truth is, I have a proof from the language of the Gemara, because the Gemara had a line, "Ein machsheves ochlin bezrika." Everyone knows if you have people in mind who can't eat during the zrika, that does not disqualify the carbon. The Ri argued that ochlin and arelim are the same thing; one can't eat physically, one can't eat halachically. It's the same halachas applied to both. Well, the Rash Mishantz argues to the Ri. He says, if that's the case, then why did the Gemara say "Ein machsheves ochlin bezrika"? The Gemara should have used the more specific and relevant line of Ein Machsheves Arelim Bezrika. Why is the Gemara so confused? Now the Ri is going to respond, the Gemara is not confusing. If you really, really have absorbed and internalized the fact, like the Ri is being Machadish, that Arelim and Ochlim, people who can't eat, are exactly the same, then you see one, immediately you know that it includes the other as well. But the Rash Mishantz didn't really read the Gemara that way, and therefore he's very upset. So we begin to see that there is a machlokas in the Rishon. And if we turn to source 12, we look at the Rambam, we can see that the Rambam very, very clearly thinks that Arelim is fundamentally different in how it disqualifies the Karban Pesach from the other psulim in the Mishnah. So we look at source 12 on page number 3. So the Rambam here says, Shaptul Amolim, problem sometimes with these vowelized versions of like some of the Sfarim, they have those vowelized Mishnah Brurahs. And I remember like my third or fourth year in YU, I had a Chabrusa who pointed out to me, he says he can't use the vowelized Mishnah Brurahs because every fifth word they have, they vowelize in a way where it's like, maybe that's technically how to vowelize the word, but nobody talks about the Ritba, nobody talks about the Abu Drem. It's not what people say. So a little bit over here, but I'll just read it the way I know it. Shachtel mulim la v'zark dam l'shem mulim da arelim pasal. So the Rambam says, right, if you have both mulim and arelim in mind for the zrika, that's a problem. Can I share my screen? Sure, I can. I put it. Oh, Mike, you came a little late. I shared it in the chat box. So let me just do that again, so you have it. Yeah. Well, I guess I can share screen. Why not? I'll share screen. So let's see. Tosos would be. Rama would be right here. Source number 12. So, right. Shalat l'mulim v'zara kadam l'shem mulim v'arelim pasim. So already here, the Rambam has said that there is one big difference between Arelim and the other ones. The other psulim, if you have both of them in mind, the carbon is kasher. If you shacht it for people who are in the chabura and not in the chabura, if you shacht it for tmeim and tahorim, the carbon is kasher. So the Rambam says, if you shacht it, having in mind that the zrika should be for some who are circumcised and some who are uncircumcised, the carbon is possible. The Rambam explains, Shazrika chamura shi'ikara karba. Zrika is the primary avoda for the carbon. So therefore, even for arelim, if you slaughtered it for arelim and mulim, it would be kasher. But if you do the zrika for arelim and mulim, it's going to be possible. Then the Rambam says, now the Ri would totally disagree with that. That's the first thing the Rambam says. Second thing the Rambam says, Shchata lemulim shi'iskapru bo arelim. Pasul. Why? Share yesh machsheves arelim bizrika. So Rama puts it out there. There is, right, arelim, having them in mind, will disqualify the zrika. And what about ochlim? So that's the Rama's third sentence over here. Shchata la ochlav, lizrok dama shalola ochlav. He said, right, so he shacks it for people who can eat. Having in mind the eventual zrika will be done for those who cannot eat meat. So, because it's a whole discussion why the carbon Pesach is, you know, fulfill your obligation with it, but the carbon is kasher. Why? So the Rambam very clearly totally disagrees with the Ri. The Ri said ochlim and mulim are exactly the same thing. And the Ri said that just like ein machsheves ochlim bizrika, ein machsheves arelim bizrika. And the Rosh Hashanah got up and he said, if that's true, then why didn't the Gemara say that? So the Rambam indeed thinks that these are totally, totally different. And that the psul of arelim is much more damaging to the carbon pasach in two distinct ways. Number one, because you can pasul the carbon with arelim in zrika, unlike ochlim, which is only for shchita. Number two, if you have the arelim in mind and the zrika, they will be a problem even if it's a combined machshava, right? I'm doing the zrika for people with a bris mila and people without a bris mila. That doesn't matter. It's going to be possible. Now, you know, we're not going to get into the details of the Gemara, but the Rambam has to fight an uphill battle to get there. Because the subsequent, you know, discussion of the Gemara seems to bring three views in the Amoraim, and the Rambam paskins like the one that really he shouldn't have. The Gemara says, where does this whole thing come from? Rabba and Rav Chista, who are arguing whether having shachting the Karban Pesach to do the Zrika for those who are Arelim is a kasher pasul, where does it come from? So the Gemara says that there are two psukim to darshan. One pasuk is kol orel lo yochal bo, every orel shall not eat from the Karban Pesach. And the second is zos chukas ha-pesach. This is the law of the Karban Pesach. Rabba, who said that our carbon was kasher, so he darshans them in the following, right? He says, you know, kol orel lo yochal bo means you need to be entirely for arelim to disqualify the shechita. It has to be kol arel. If you have, you know, you shacht it for arelim and mulim, Rabba says it's going to be kasher. The Mishnah only disqualified it if you shachted it only for arelim. And then the Torah says, zos chukas ha-pesach, that limits the scope of the psul exclusively to shechita. So in zrika, even if it's done entirely for arelim, it's going to be kasher. It's only a psul in shechita, and it has to be entirely for arelim. That is the view of Rabba. Rav Chista disagrees. This is the view that the Rambam paskins like. Rav Chista darshins the psukim. Kol arel Kol arel yochava. If you shecht the carbon pasach, it has to be entirely for arelim, right? So if you shecht it for arelim and mulim, it'll be kasher. That's just like Rabba. However, Zos Chukas HaPesach says that this limitation on the psul is only for shechita. However, zrika will be pasul even if you only have one arel in the mix. So while Rabba learned from Zos Chukas HaPesach that you only have any psul for arel whatsoever in shechita, Rav Chista learns that Zos Chukas HaPesach means you only have a limitation on the psul for shechita. But when you do zrika, if it's done for any, if there's any presence of arel, the carbon pasach is going to be pasul. Now, the reason why the Rambam, it's surprising the Rambam paskins like Rav Chista's view, is that the Gemara then brings in Rav Ashi at the end of the Gemara, the bottom of Samach Aleph and Beis, the top of Samach Aleph, Beis Amud Aleph. And Rav Ashi says, no, there's a third beast. He really thinks, he denies there is any machlokes at all. He says you have to totally relitigate the whole thing. Rav Ashi, who is a much later Amora than Rav Chista or Rava, he says you could read the psukim as saying, kol orel lo yochal bo. I would have thought any orel is a problem, both for shechita and for zrika. I would have thought both shechita and zrika are passed by any orel. Orel kol duhu. That was how to derive from kol orel. And then the Torah says, no, zos chukas ha-pasach. The Torah tells you I need entire intent. I need to be all in for mulim, for arelim, sorry, both for shechita and for zrika. The Rambam gets very angry with the Rambam. How can the Rambam rule like Rav Chista if Rav Ashi comes along and throws them out? So, you know, the Mefarshim explained, well, you know, you could read the Rambam. Rav Ashi wasn't rejecting this view of Rabban Rav Chista. Rav Ashi was suggesting an alternative, which is pretty uncommon. But what's clear is that the Rambam was extremely impressed by the view of Rav Chista, that he paskins like it, even though it really goes against the grain. He has to fight uphill to reject Rav Ashi in order to paskin like Rav Chista. He is really, really convinced that Rav Chista has the strongest svara, and therefore he has to really massage Rav Ashi into saying, oh, maybe, you know, Dilma. Right? Rav Ashi said, Dilma, maybe you could read the psukim a little bit differently. But you shouldn't. That's a surprising way to read the Gemara. But the Rambam was really, really impressed by the relationship between Arel and Karban Pesach. So he was of the opinion that if you did the Zrika for Arelim, it'll be a problem. And if you did the Zrika with any presence of Arelim, it's going to be a problem. And just the last 5 minutes, take a look at a piece from Rav Meir Simcha, the Vince in the Yor Sameach, and then we'll take a look at something from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and the Rav. So, Yor Sameach, he says, we need to explain, what is the difference between Shechita and Zrika? Why is it that these other psulim, which the Rambam says are different, of people who are not in the Chabura, people who can't eat, people who are Tamei, those groups of people only disqualify the carbon for shechita, while the arel will disqualify the carbon even for zrika. What exactly is the difference between shechita and zrika? What exactly is the difference between the arel and these other groups? Right? Until now, we've proved that the Rambam thinks that they are different. He thinks that somehow the arel is more fundamentally threatening to the carbon pesach than the other ones, against the Baalei Tosfos. But we haven't actually put a finger on why that is. So the Yor Sameach does a beautiful job. And the Yor Sameach says, let's think for a second. Why are the other people, the person who can't eat, the person who's not in the chabur, why are they only disqualified the shechita? He says, The shechita is the avoda which focuses on the eating of the animal, right? The shechita is there to render the meat of the animal permissible. It says the zrika is the real process of offering the carbon. So when it comes to the person who can't eat from the carbon, his problem is an eating problem, obviously. The tameh person's problem is an eating problem. If your only problem is that you cannot eat from the carbon Pesach, then you're only going to be undermining anything at the moment of shechita, because shechita is the only avoda of the carbon which is connected to the whole process of eating, right? It says, you know, the person who can't eat, the person who's tameh, came in the kol chasenomi sacha in a roi ba'achila. His only problem is that he cannot eat. He'll only have a problem if you have him in mind at the moment of shechita. And he says, what about the RL? What about Zrika? Totally different story. Zrika is not about eating meat. If you want to go have a barbecue in the backyard, you do not need to do a Zrika. In fact, you better not do a Zrika of the blood if you want to have a barbecue. Right? Zrika is a carbon process. So he says, in game, im chishe v'chola v'zake, shame b'nei artza. Right? Someone who's sick or he's old, he's theoretically connected to the carbon Pesach. He's somebody who could get the, you know, the ritzoy and be involved in the carbon Pesach. Rak chesrona mitzach einam ru'yum le'achol. They just can't eat it. So in psul machshavtam bezrika bezavar. So they will not passel the zrika, in contrast to the RL. Right? The RL is not just a problem not being able to eat. Right, the orel is someone who is not what he calls a bar hartza. The person who does not have a bris milah is fundamentally removed from the carbon pesach. He is antithetical to everything the carbon pesach stands for. It's not just, oh, he can't eat from it. So if you have him in mind, then shechita, it's a problem. He is diametrically opposed to everything the carbon pesach stands for. So even if you have him in mind for a zrika, for the process of bringing it on the mizbeach, it's going to be a problem. Yer Sameach has a brilliant proof for this. Quotes the Gemara and Samach Tes, Daf Samach Tes, which quotes the view of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, let's say you have somebody who is, he's Tameh, right? It's the seventh day of, it's the seventh day of Tumah. So if it's the seventh day of, then, you know, the bad news is right now he's Tameh. The good news is that come nightfall, he'll be tahor. So, in general, he can partake in the carbon pesach, right? Because right now he's tameh, but you'll bring it on his behalf. He'll go to the mikvah. He'll get the ashes of the paraduma, and that night he'll be totally tahor and he can eat from the carbon pesach. No problem, right? Makes sense. Rabbi Eliezer though says that it goes one step further. He says that somebody who is on day seven of his tuma can be included in the chabura for a carbon pesach, even though that year Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. What's the problem? If Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we don't sprinkle paraduma ashes on somebody on Shabbos. So this guy, in theory, could have become purified, but in reality, he's not going to. He'll be tamei today. We're not going to do this. We're not going to sprinkle paraduma. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Eliezer, since this guy, in theory, could be tahor tonight, just practically speaking, we have a policy, we're not going to sprinkle the blood on him. That's sufficient. He is sufficiently connected to the carbon pesach by virtue of the fact that theoretically he could eat from it tonight, that he could be included in the chabura. So Tosus asks, what on earth is Rabbi Eliezer talking about? If anybody who in theory can eat from the carbon pesach tonight can be included in the chabura right now, so who should we ask from? We should ask from the RL. The RL, if he wanted to, you know, he can dial up a moel and he can have a bris milah in 5 minutes. So just like the person who's in his seventh day of tumah and today is Shabbos, in theory could become tahor that night and eat from the carbon pesach, even though in reality it's not going to happen. Why don't we say the same exact thing for the person who is an RL? In theory, he could get a bris milah. So even though he doesn't, he should be able to be included in the chabura, which we know is not the case because the Mishnah tells us that he passes the carbon if you have him in mind. So Baalei Tosfos are very, very bad, right? They are operating in their own shita because they think that the person who can't eat and the person who's an RL have fundamentally the same soul. And so here they run into a big problem. Rosh Hashanah says, you see what the big difference is? The RL, it's not only a problem of him being able to eat. You talk about somebody who can't eat or can't eat, then we can talk about the theoreticals. And if theoretically he can eat from the Karban Pesach tonight, he's not going to disqualify. But since the disqualification of the RL is so much more fundamental, it so gets to the heart of everything that the Karban Pesach stands for, the whole idea of Knisa Lebris and Hashem and Bnei Yisrael and Amun B'Tachon and the covenant, everything else that we celebrate that night. And the person who has an RL, who's an RL, is literally, you know, standing against that. I don't care that in theory he can get a bris. Right now he has the noxious presence of the Arla, and that is antithetical to the Karban Pesach. He cannot be in the Chabura. So just like the Rambam is saying, if you have him in mind for Zrika, it's a problem. Because with him, it's not just a problem of eating. It's a problem of being antithetical to the whole process. So too, the fact that in theory he could get a bris milah is not going to make a difference one way or another. And there's just one more piece to add for that Rambam from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and his son, you know, Rav Yashar Ber. He put out this beautiful sefer, Hidushei HaGram VeHaGrid, which is, you know, I think it's essays that basically, for the most part, the father and son wrote up together while they were learning. I think when Soloveitchik was very, very young. Some of the pieces occasionally say on the bottom that this one is from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, this one is from Yashar Ber Soloveitchik. I think this one is not signed, so probably written, you know, developed by the two of them together. And there's just one very, very basic point that they make to add to this idea, to put meat on the bones of the difference between the RL and the other disqualifications from that Mishnah. Remember, the Rambam said, if you shecht it for people in the Chabura and people out of the Chabura, you shecht it for people who can eat and who can't eat, the carbon is kosher. Why is that the case? That's not the case. The Mishnah says that. Why is that the case, though? It is not the case for the classic universal disqualifications of Shelo Lishma. If I take a carbon chatas and I shecht it to say this is a carbon chatas and a carbon ola, it's pasul. So why is it that if I shecht it as a ola and a chatas, it's pasul, but I shecht it for people who can eat and people who can't eat from the Pesach, it's kasher? So the Moshe and the Rav write very simply that when it comes to regular disqualifications of Shelo Lishma, that is what we call an active disqualification of the carbon. There is a posel of Shelo Lishma. Therefore, any presence of Shelo Lishma is going to be a problem. I don't care that the guy who is shechting it as a chatas said this is going to be a chatas. He also said it's going to be an ola. That's the fly in the ointment, right? That disqualifies the carbon. Since it is a disqualifier, as long as it's there, it's going to disqualify. In contrast, though, all the psulim of the Mishnah, ochlim, menuyin, tmeim, right? These people have to be able to eat from the karban, be in the chabura, be tahor. Those are not active disqualifications. What the Mishnah there is really telling you is that you need to have in mind people who can eat from the karban. If you don't have people who can eat from the karban in mind, the karban is going to be possible. So if I have in mind people who can eat, then I don't care if I also had in mind, you know, somebody who's not able to eat meat, because he's not an active disqualifier. I just need to have in mind people who can eat from the carbon. So that's why it's going to be kasher. Then here's the last point. What happens when you do the zrika for arelim? So they write, zrika for arelim is not just a problem because we needed intent for bris milah. Zrika for arelim, that, once again, is an active problem. The presence of arelim in your thought process when you bring the carbon Pesach, that will disqualify the carbon because it is something which goes totally against the core of the carbon Pesach. So just to sum up, right, we see a lot of evidence in the psukim linking Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. We have the Hashkafic framework for that, the whole idea of the Karban Pesach as the Karban, which is all about the bris between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, the founding of us as a nation, the Chiyuv Kares, the role of Shechita, the role of Achila, everything, the idea that the Ger would bring one, the Havmina, he would bring one when he converts, right? That's all there. There's this psul of having the RL in mind. Balitosa say, look, we look at the sources, we look at some of the Gemaras, and it sounds like it's just lumped in with all the other psul. The Rambam, though, is so convinced by the other approach, he has to read some of the Gemaras against the grain to get there, but that's where he gets in the end. So in the end, we have this idea that having the RL in mind, it's an active post-sale as opposed to the other ones, which are just, you have to have in mind the guy who's able to eat. And number two, right, since he's not just a problem regarding the eating, but he's a problem regarding the whole essence of the Karban Pesach, therefore the Rambam rules he'll passel it for Zrika and not only for Shechita. Okay, so Yasher Koach, everybody for coming to the Chaburah this week. I'm very excited for shifting gears a little bit next week to Hilchos Pesach that are, you know, relevant nowadays. You know, Ritz Hashem, all the halachos we've discussed this week should be relevant next year. Have a great Shabbos.
Sure, thank you.